Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video. Find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Subscribe to Inclusion Revolution Radio, wherever you get your podcasts.
Underdog Fantasy is the fastest growing fantasy app and easiest place to play fantasy sports. Just jump on UnderdogFantasy.com or download the app, draft your team, and that's it. And if drafts aren't your thing, they also have a pick'em game where you can win 20 times your money in a single night. Use promo code RADIO and Underdog will double your first deposit when you sign up with up to $100 in bonus cash. Deposit $100, get $100 free. That's promo code RADIO. Terms and conditions apply.
Week 9, welcome to Stacking the Box. We hope that your election hangover is okay. I actually, Verderam, I had orange soda, 2 bananas, tequila lime chicken, Snickers ice cream bar, and some popcorn. You, on the other hand, went a little harder.
Yeah, I had, I took a big glass out of the cabinet, and I had 2 rum and cokes, and then my wife made me a double, and then I don't remember. I had a lot, and I pounded a ton of water and passed out on my couch at about 3:40 in the a.m.
See, now that back end effort is what I've just been trying to avoid in my life since my freshman year at the University of Hartford in Connecticut after a very poor start to my academic career on the high school level. But I did bounce back and get to Iowa. We'll talk about that in another time. Week 9, Verderam. There's some great games this week. I'm super excited for Thursday night, even though we've got COVID situation with the Niners. Who knows how that's going to turn out? But Green Bay and San Francisco is interesting to me, although the non-Garoppolo factor, I guess, makes it a little less interesting. But the Seahawks and the Bills, the Bears and the Titans, I'm always interested in the Bears. Ravens-Colts is a great game. And then you get to Sunday Night Football, Saints and Bucks. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff this week.
There is. And I'm really interested in all of it. But, I think, you've got to start, right, with Sunday Night Football. The Saints and the Bucks. Each team's lost twice. The Bucs beat the Giants on Monday Night Football. Didn't look great doing it, but they won the game, and that's all that counts. The Saints beat them week one, beat them pretty handily. How does that all shake out this time around? Right, I am very curious to see how the Saints look in this game. The Bucs have played much better since then. I'd argue the Saints have not matched that level of play since then. So what do we have? And then I'm fascinated by Seattle and Buffalo.
It's a good one.
Buffalo to me, it's a little bit of a put up or shut up game as far as being an elite top tier contender, right? Like you play Tennessee, you got handled. You played Kansas City, you got beat soundly. You've beaten all the teams you should beat. You beat the Rams. Like, this is a big test at home, but Seattle's defense is not good. Like, what do you got? I'm really curious to see that game.
So, and it's a great one too, because you got to figure that the Bills defense can, how hard can they make it on the Seahawks offense?
Right.
And they're still going to score. They're Seattle. They've got the potential MVP. And so then the other side of it is, can the Bills offense do enough? Like, that's the interesting thing to me, right? Can you middle it on defense and middle it on offense and get a win? And if you do that, then, I mean, Buffalo straight feels like they're a Super Bowl contender at that point, I would think. I mean, like, I'm sure they're holding on somewhere that, yes, we are Super Bowl contenders. We're the Buffalo Bills. And even if they beat Seattle, I should walk that back a little bit. I doubt that they feel super confident against Kansas City, but it would be a huge boost for the Bills.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. That would be their best win in how many years? And I don't say that demeaningly to the Bills. I mean, just seriously. I mean, that would be their best win, I would imagine, in a very long time. So, look, they slayed the Pats last week. It was an ugly game. It was a game where really could have gone either way. They get the late fumble from Newton. And, hey, look, they won. So, they're in the driver's seat. Miami's lurking in the AFC East. But this is a big one. I really am curious. And then also, listen, I am interested in Indianapolis and Baltimore. Baltimore outplayed Pittsburgh about every way you could do it on Sunday, but Jackson turned the ball over four times. There is this narrative that I now do believe in, that he just does not beat good teams, does not ever seem to do it. The Colts are a good team. They're not an upper echelon team in my eyes, but this would be a nice win for Baltimore. He goes on the road. They win this game. They get to 6-2. They stay in the race for the AFC North. They got to have it. And on the flip side, Indianapolis, they're tied for the divisional lead. So, like, both of those teams in the AFC could be a tiebreaker game down the road. It's important.
Before we get to Tennessee and Chicago, because we got to get the Bears in there, and that is a big game with playoff implications on both sides. Yep. Just want to tee up, the last time the Bills and the Seahawks played each other, it was 2008, Matt Verderam, Fun Carm.
Underdog Fantasy is the fastest growing fantasy app and easiest place to play fantasy sports. Just jump on underdogfantasy.com or download the app, draft your team, and that's it. And if drafts aren't your thing, they also have a pick'em game where you can win 20 times your money in a single night. Use promo code RADIO, and Underdog will double your first deposit when you sign up with up to $100 in bonus cash. Deposit $100, get $100 free. That's promo code RADIO. Terms and conditions apply.
Fact here. The first touchdown in the game was scored by Buffalo. You want to take a guess as to who scored it?
Marshawn Lynch.
Okay, fine. That's not that fun. I thought that was a good one there.
It is, but I knew he was with the Bills, so I figured that had to be who it was.
That's exactly right. And by the way, the Seahawks played in Buffalo last time.
I was going to say, there's no way that was the last time they played. But yes. In Buffalo? Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So, all right. As far as Tennessee and Chicago, the Bears are reeling. The Nick Foles situation, we have officially figured out he's not going to save the Bears. The Bears' offensive line is straight brutal. I rewatched Tennessee and Chicago, the Bears and New Orleans again during the election last night, Verram, because I couldn't handle the election.
Should I add my rum and coke?
Troy Aikman just straight annihilated the Bears from about the 12-minute mark of the third quarter to about the 5-minute mark, and then he doubled down again at the end of the game. So, I think this is a huge game for the Bears, and I think Tennessee overall is it's not as big for the Titans. But the Bears, if you go to 5-4 and you continue this momentum, 3-game losing streaks are not good for, you know, to make the playoffs. So, to me, this is a huge game for the Bears.
So, I think it's equally important in the sense that whoever loses has lost 3 games in a row. You don't want to start to slide to that extent. Like, you know, listen, two-game losing streaks in the NFL cause panic because it's a 16-game season and so on and so forth. You lose 3 games in a row, now you're starting to go down a path that, you know, are you going to go into full-on free fall? Now, yeah, I would agree with you. I do think the Bears, if you press me, is a more important for them. Yeah, probably. I mean, they're 5-3. Tennessee's 5-2. The NFC, a little more competitive in terms of the NFC wild card picture than the AFC wild card picture. But I got to tell you, though, man, I think it's a real big game for both teams. Like Tennessee, after they play the Bears, they play the Colts, and then they're at Baltimore, and then they get the Colts again. Like, I can make a real argument that they lose to the Bears are staring at 5-6, at maybe 6-5.
Yeah, no, the schedule is extremely tough for Tennessee, although the Bears still have to play the Packers twice. And look, I just look at it like, at least for me right now, I still look at Tennessee as they're a decent football team. The Bears, it feels like they just have to somehow get wins, because there's some winnable games on that schedule. But if you start, look, they could have beaten the Saints. Very, that game, as bad as they played, they're in overtime. They had two near picks. I mean, Roquan Smith nearly had a pick. Eddie Jackson nearly had a pick. Either one of those happened, you probably win the game. Roquan for sure takes it to the house. I mean, there was nothing, no one in front of him. But that's how they have to win. And when you don't, I don't know. I just feel like the Bears have like completely showed themselves in ways that everybody was calling out, but it just has happened so fast. Tennessee, on the other hand, like you still have Derrick Henry. Ryan Tannehill's proven himself to be a good quarterback. Your offensive line is not completely in shambles. The division seems much more winnable. So I that's why I don't think it's as big for the Bears. But let's go out to San Francisco here. Jimmy Garoppolo, ankle injury, might miss the rest of the season. Do you see the Niners getting out of Garoppolo going forward here? And kind of like legacy-wise, San Francisco, I'm thinking about with Jimmy G.
I think there's a very good chance that Jimmy Garoppolo is done in San Francisco. By the time he gets healthy this year, if he does, because they've talked about surgery being an option for the ankle if he gets surgeries out for the year. Otherwise, he's out probably about 6 weeks. I think he's done there. Okay, you look at his contract. He signed for two more seasons. His cap hit next year is 26.9. If they cut him, trade him, move him, whatever, $2.8 million of that is dead money. That's nothing. That is not going to be the reason that they hold on to Jimmy Garoppolo. And if you're San Francisco, like let's say they go 6-10, 7-9, I mean, all these injuries, they might just fall off a cliff here. And the schedule's brutal because of the division they're in. Like if that happens, they're picking around 10th, and they can get a Trey Lance. If they can get a Kyle Trask out of Florida, I think you got to consider doing it, right? Like you get a cheap quarterback with a lot of upside who's controllable for 5 years on a rookie deal plus tags. You now have all that freed up cap space to improve the team all over the place, wherever you want to do it. Like, is in your eyes, is Garoppolo worth essentially $30 million?
In today's market, I think you can certainly make the argument. He's 22-8. All right. Look, when I go,
the Niners are 22-8. Garoppolo happened to be the quarterback of the team. Is 22-8.
Okay, but let's go back to the year. When he stepped in, were they not 1-10, and he went 5-0?
I believe that's right. I believe
so.
You're right.
So they were in the Super Bowl. They had the lead. He missed the biggest throw of his life, but I still feel like the guy doesn't get enough credit for what he's done. They've been significantly better when he's been on the field. That's not a hot take right there. It's just that's a fact. So would I pay him $30 million a year for two more years coming off an ankle injury and try to eke out one more run with Jimmy Garoppolo? Probably. I probably would.
I guess I just look at it and say, is he really a top half in the league quarterback? And every time I do my quarterback rankings, I have him right about 16th, 17th. He's not terrible. Like I don't want to make it out like I think he's awful. I don't. I think he's average. But I think they're limited. And, you know, you could certainly make the argument they should keep him. That's why I put it on the sheet. I think it's interesting. You could debate it either way. Like, they were a better Jimmy G pass in the fourth quarter from potentially winning the Super Bowl last year. I just feel like if Shanahan got a quarterback in there that they didn't have to scheme the whole game around, they would be a team that every year would compete for a Super Bowl. As we're right now, I think they have to have certain circumstances to win. Now, this year they've been racked by injury, but he's not been good. And there have been, and even last year, he didn't throw for 4,000 yards. It wasn't like he was even that good last year. He just, they ran the ball like crazy and they had an unbelievable defense.
I guess it would be a, you know, I'm not saying don't draft a quarterback and maybe even in the first round. And if you're picking way up, then, you know, it's a bigger play. I get it, to pick a quarterback and have him sit behind him, which doesn't happen as much nowadays. But, and it's a very, very expensive insurance policy, but I think it's one you got to pay ultimately, because it's the most important position in sports, as they like to say. All right, let's go into the future. Which playoff contender needs a win most this week? Where are you going?
So you could go a lot of different ways. I will say Tennessee, and I kind of gave that away earlier. Tennessee's got to win this game. Look, I respect the Bears. They're really good defensively. You're at home in this game playing Nick Foles. Like, you're a good offensive team. You should be able to score 20 points. And if your defense can't do anything against Nick Foles, then you know what? It might be time to pack it in with this defense, which is stunk, by the way. They're the worst third down defense in football by a mile. They're giving up 61% of conversions on third down. That's insane. Most teams, you're over 45%. You're brutal. 61%. Tennessee's got to win this game. You start getting into, if they lose to the Colts, you know, I mean, they got the Colts twice and the Ravens coming up. That's very easily could be 1-2, 0-3. So I think the Titans, they really have to win. I think for me that it's almost a fairly easy decision.
So I'm going to go off the board on this one. I picked them to win the NFC East. This is a must-win wink for the Washington football team. You're at home. You got the 1-7 Giants. New York's played a lot of tight games. This is no gimme for a 2-5 Washington football team. You're a 3-point favorite at home. You got to get to Daniel Jones. You got to cause some havoc. You got to get to win number 3. And, you got to hope that the Dallas Cowboys don't get to win number 3 when they're hosting the 7-0 Steelers. Here comes the Washington football team.
Okay. I mean, listen, it sounds funny because the division's terrible, but, like, you're not wrong.
It's kind of true, right?
The Giants. Like, they got to win the game.
You got to win the game, man. Like, you can go a lot of pathways elsewhere. And
I'll tell you what, by the way, I got the Eagles winning that division, but, man, like, if you said to me who's your second team, it is Washington. It is. They can play defense. And Rivera's a real coach. Like, they're not good, but they're better than Dallas. I mean, God almighty, Cooper Rush is going to start this week? You kidding me? Who the hell is Cooper Rush?
I have no idea.
Disgrace.
He's one of the best Cooper Rushes, though, out there.
I don't know that he is. I'd argue he's not.
He might not be the best Cooper Rush.
I bet I could find a better one.
There, deep dive. Cooper Rush. We'll have a better Cooper
Somebody
Rush for
out
Sunday.
There, Google it. Figure it out. Send it to us.
Quick time out. Stay with us. You are listening to Stacking the Box. Let's look at the Colts and the Titans in the AFC South. We've done a lot of Tennessee today, man.
Well, yeah, actually.
But
so
that's
let's
okay.
Be brief on this one. I picked the Colts before the season to win the division, but I picked them to both finish 9-7 and the Colts just to win the breaker. I am going to stay with Indianapolis. You know, I'm going to stay with and I'm torn. I'm torn on this. I think Indy's just a much better defensive team. So I'll stay with the Colts. But if Tennessee could do anything defensively, I'd like them more. But it's never a good sign when your offseason plan to get a better pass rush was to sign Vic Beasley and Jadeveon Clowney, and you've already released Vic Beasley, and Clowney is a complete hood ornament. That's never great. So I'll take the Colts, but I think it's anybody's game. Obviously, we've talked about two games in the next 3 weeks against each other. You're going to get a real good idea where that race is after that.
And to me, this comes down to schedule, but both schedules are very similar.
And they're hard. They're both hard.
Yeah, and you know, I think Tennessee's schedule is slightly harder. you know, you've got whatever. You've got the Bears this week. It's going to be a competitive game, but you still have to go to Baltimore. You have to go to Green Bay. But then you've got Jacksonville. You've got Detroit. You've got Houston. On the other side, the Colts play Houston twice still. So they haven't gotten their Houston win, which, by the way, it was a miracle that Tennessee got that one done. Anyway, it's a total coin flip. At the end of the day, I'm taking Tennessee. I like the cold weather factor with the Titans coming up here. I mean, how many cold weather games are they going to play here? It's more playoff time. Not that many. At Green Bay is really the only one, so that's a terrible factor. They got Cleveland at home, so that's not – I wouldn't think that it's going to be freezing in Tennessee. But I just think the Titans are more set up at least to grind out wins come playoff time than the Colts are. I think Phillip Rivers is going to look terrible by the time we get to January. So
that may be true.
Long term, I just like the Titans a little bit more. All right, which team will most regret not making a trade at the deadline? Everyone's talking about Green Bay. I think that's where you're going with this.
Has to be. I want to bring this up. Like, to me, there's these reports, and everybody hears them, you know, or heard the chatter about, you know, the Packers want to add a receiver. I'm not trying to kill Brian Gutekunst, the GM there for the Packers, but I'm going to anyway. Like, you had the whole offseason to go get him a target. You never did it. You go into the draft, you could have taken anybody. You didn't take one receiver. You took a 250-pound running back and a backup quarterback in the first round. Then you get to the deadline, and you can't agree on value with the Texans on Will Fuller, according to a bunch of different reports. Look, what are we talking about? Like, if you really think Will Fuller is the missing piece, then fine. No, I'm not saying I even think that he was. But if you do feel that way, then go make a move. I'd also argue, hell, Desmond King to the Titans for a sixth-round pick, I think that's a steal. That kid's 25 years old. He's a former all-pro corner, all-pro returner. He's not playing to that level right now, but he's still good. He's been the best slot corner in the NFL this year, by the way, if you want to go on yards per target. So if you're the Packers, couldn't use that guy? You're 20th in every single defensive metric in football. Like, I was shocked. And if I'm Aaron Rodgers, frankly, I'm pissed. Like, I am having an MVP-type year, and I'm looking at the Chiefs, who just can't stop adding guys around Mahomes. I'm looking at Seattle, who just went out and got Carlos Dunlap. I'm looking at the Saints, who just got Quan Alexander, who's not been great, but he's still an upgrade for them. I look at Tampa, who just got Antonio Brown, and I look at the Packers, who are just chilling out. Like, hey, Aaron, hopefully you can make it work again, man. Best of luck. At least you're not saddled with Mike McCarthy anymore.
Yep. It's a fair look. And Julio Jones would have looked sweet in Green Bay. If we're going to go all bold here, I look at just on the flip side of this, you're the Houston Texans. You got some assets, right? Why not be aggressive?
I'm with you.
Where are you going, man? Kenny Stills, Brandon Cooks, JJ Watt, whatever you want to do. I mean, teams are screaming for wide receivers around the league.
Yep.
I don't get that. It's like, you don't know where you're at. I know that it's, you know, maybe you don't want to double triple down on taking assets away from Deshaun Watson. But if I was him, I'd be walking in and saying, hey, my name's Deshaun and I'm about the future. I know we're going nowhere. Whatever you think you need to do to make us a more competitive football team, I am in. And he doesn't.
I don't get it. If you're Houston, like, you have Fuller, who you're going to resign him. If you're not going to resign him, what are you getting for him? A comp pick? Like, trade him right now. Trade him for a second round pick. Like, JJ Watt, like, I get it. He's an icon. He's the face of the franchise, not only now, but historically. He's 31. You're not winning a Super Bowl, JJ Watt. Move him. Move on. Accept it. You screwed up. His entire prime is now gone. No, I'm with you. I hear you.
Let's go to a sleeper team. We're halfway through the year here, man. Week 9. Who do you got as your outside shot to do something big come playoff time sleeper team?
So I'm going to stick with the team I had as a sleeper pick back in July, Arizona. Arizona is not going to win the Super Bowl, but they're a weird team to play and they're a tough team to play. They got a lot of weapons. Murray is a very hard guy to defend. defensively, even with Chandler Jones being out, they have played adequately defensively. They're not great by any stretch, but they're not the tire fire so many of us thought they would be. I think Arizona is the kind of team, like, they get in the playoffs and you catch them on the wrong day, they could beat you. Like, I could picture them going to Seattle and winning the game. I could picture them going to Lambeau and beating the Packers. Would I pick it? Probably not. That's why they're a sleeper, but I think they could do it. I wouldn't be stunned if they did it. So I think the Cardinals are better than people realize. Cardinals sitting at 5-2. They're a good team.
This one's tough. Because, like, are the Bears officially a sleeper team at this point? Because they almost are. But I'm not going with Chicago because that would be way too much of a homer pick and seems ridiculous. I wonder about the Raiders, who've had flashes where they've looked good, but, like, I can't see them making a deep run. Tennessee would not be considered a sleeper, but, you know, I also feel like the whole Titans thing is still kind of bizarre to people. I'll look at the Dolphins. Like, Tua, are you going to do something over there? Which also seems unreal. I guess at the end of the day here, I'll go with the Rams, even though they looked as bad as you could possibly look last week. That defense can dominate and often does, and Goff can get hot.
I like that.
And the division's up in the air, so maybe they get in and they just play above themselves. So I think they're capable of doing it. I wouldn't say it's likely. But I'll take the Rams. All right. We move on to place your bets. Five games for you. The Ravens, a 2.5-point favorite at Indy. Where are you going?
I'm going to take the Ravens to cover and a win by three, maybe four. It's a tight game. And I do worry about Lamar in this game because they are good. Indy's good defensively. Indianapolis is a really well-coached team. They can play defense. They are excellent against the run. They are going to be a problem. I believe they're second in the NFL against the run, by the way. The reason I am taking Baltimore is the Colts are the worst rushing team in the NFL. And I feel like you're going to get a lot of second and third and longs, and that's not great for Phillip Rivers against that defense. I could see Rivers throwing three picks in this game. So I'm taking Baltimore. But I would not be shocked if the Colts can mitigate the mistakes with Rivers. I wouldn't be shocked if they won.
I can't pick Indy. Baltimore, you are the better team. You are going to play better. The Colts defense, everything you said is spot on correct. I mean, they make you look bad, which scares me for Lamar. But Lamar, you are going to hear the noise this week. It is going to anger you, and you're going to have your best game of the year. I'll take the Baltimore Ravens, they're the better football team, to cover on the road. All right, the Chiefs home with Carolina, 10.5-point favorite. Do they keep murdering teams, Matt Verderam?
I feel like the line's a little high because Carolina's actually played pretty well, and they get McCaffrey back this week. I don't know if people realize this. Robbie Anderson's on pace like 1,400 receiving yards. DJ Moore's on pace for 1,200 receiving yards. Now, I know part of that is they don't have McCaffrey there. She's spreading, you know, throwing the ball a little bit more. Still, who cares? Like, this is still great years. That all said, I'm taking the Chiefs to cover for one reason. For one reason. They have covered 16 of their last 17 games and won them all. Other than that weird game with the Raiders, and listen, that could happen again, sure. But, like, I'm just going to keep picking them to cover. I mean, they were a 20-point favorite last week. They covered the spread. Now, the Panthers are not the Jets. But, yeah, I'll take them to cover the spread. I feel like looking at it that it's a little high, but then I look at it and say, well, yeah, if you're Vegas, you got to keep making it higher and higher and higher, right? Like, at some point, you got to try to win back some of it. So I'll take the Chiefs to win by, you know, 13, something like that.
Carolina's one of the weirdest teams this year. Remember when the Panthers were 0-2 and it looked like they would never win a game? Remember when the Panthers were 3-2 and people were talking about them being a playoff team? Oh, then they lost 3 in a row and they're 3-5. And I think this week is clearly going to be number 4. Next week is 5. They play the Bucs. I will not pick against Kansas City probably the rest of the year in any spread. I'll take the Chiefs. Seahawks, 2.5-point favorite at Buffalo.
I'm taking Seattle. And I'll tell you why. I think Allen's going to play well in this game. I have no faith at all that Buffalo can stop them. Zero. like this could be a game. It's 38-34 and Wilson throws for 450 yards. Like it's just the Bills are dead last in pressure rate. Not great when you're playing Seattle. Like, that is just a recipe that screams touchdowns galore. I think the Bills are competitive. I don't think it's a backdoor, you know, tight game or anything. I think it's a real tight game, like back and forth. I just believe that Wilson will outduel Allen, mostly because I think that Seattle's defense, while terrible, they get Dunlap. Adams might be back. Maybe that's just enough to give them the win.
West Coast teams playing noon games in the East Coast, 1 o'clock, obviously noon Central, whatever. Yeah, it never goes well. So, but I also like to put my money on the better football team, and I think Seattle is clearly that. So, but I'm going to take the Bills to eke out a 1 point, 29, or to lose the Seahawks to eke out rather a 1 point, 2019. Somehow, some way, Russell Wilson has a key drive at the end of the ball game, and the Seahawks walk out of there a winner. But I think it's tighter than 2.5. So I will take the Buffalo Bills to cover. Raiders at the Chargers. Los Angeles, a 1.5 point favorite. Chargers, by the way, my guy Justin Jackson is doing work over there. I don't know if people are noticing the former Northwestern Wildcat, who was a 7th-round pick for the Rams, he's been playing some damn good football. Go ahead. What do you got?
So everything in my being wanted to take the Chargers here, but I'm not going to be the media dope like we all have been, who just keep riding the Chargers. The Chargers, I think, are more talented. They never won in the game. They know, like, at some point, like, don't you, like, to be fair to the Raiders, I've not been on the Raiders because of their defense. And that's what worries me in this game again, is Herbert, I think, is going to have a really big day because the Raiders are dead last in quarterback hits. Herbert's got a lot of weapons. But, man, can't you just see the Chargers having, like, a 10-point lead and just blowing it? I mean, that it seems to be what they do. So, until the Chargers win the game that they're supposed to win, I'm riding with the Raiders. I think the Raiders find a way, even though I do believe that the Chargers, top to bottom, are more talented, but they don't finish.
So, I just feel like giving my love to the Chargers this week.
Good rationale. Let's
go, Justin Herbert. He's tied with Russell Wilson for the NFL lead in touchdown passes that travel at least 15 yards in the air, Matt, for a Ram with 9. There's a stat for you. He leads the league with 7 scoring throws that travel over 20 yards. Bombs away. Let's go. Raiders going down. Herbert through the air, and he closes in on Joe Burrow in the Rookie of the Year chase. The Chargers deserve a win. Can we just get to a deserving situation here? After I just thought about, by the way, making the Raiders my sleeper team. I will take you all over the map, Carm. Dolphins and the Cardinals, Arizona, your sleeper team, Verderam, is a 5.5 point favorite at home.
I like the Dolphins a lot, but I love the Cardinals here. Love them. The Dolphins are coming across the country. The Cardinals are off a bye. They've got the better quarterback. Tua's now played a game. Cardinals have a little tape. Tua looked awful in that game. I think this is a rough game, and the Dolphins have been blitzing a lot lately. It's worked for them. I don't know that it works in this game. If you blitz a lot here, Murray's out the back door and he's running all over you. They've got receivers who can win one-on-one. I think the Cardinals are going to win this game really big. And I think the Dolphins bounce back. I think they stay in that wild card race as long as Tua doesn't totally bomb out here. But I really like the Cardinals.
5.5 seems like a lot of points, which is why I like Arizona, especially here. Tua flat sucked.
He's not good. It's not good.
He didn't throw for 100 yards. I mean, that's just, and he got a little bit better late in the game, and he was going up against a good defense in the Rams. I get all that, but like
their longest drive in that game, not to cut you off, their longest drive was 33 yards.
Right. I will take.
And he's with 28 points.
Yeah. Yeah. Well. Right. Well, 4 turnovers from Mr. Goff will do that for you. I'll take Arizona. Let's go. In or out, we got 4 for you. Joe Burrow, we're going deep. Let's see your future, be your future. Right. Joe Burrow, which I just actually mentioned this, will have a better career than Justin Herbert. I got to be in on that, right? You got to love Joe Burrow. Are you going contrarian here?
I'm in, but I got to tell you, I really did think about it for a while. I think they're both going to be really good. Really good. The reason I'm in, and this is a weird sentence to say, I kind of like what the Bengals are doing. Like, they defensively, they're still not good, but you know what? Last offseason, for the first time literally ever, they spent money in free agency. They willfully tried to get better. And I know that sounds like a real baby step, and it is, but it's a step they hadn't taken. Like, they actually went out and spent some money. They've got some weapons around Burrow. I like Zach Taylor a lot as a head coach. I think he's a smart guy. I think he's a good fit. So I like where the Bengals are going. The problem I have with the Chargers is, and the reason I'm going Burrow over Herbert really is nothing to do with Herbert. I think Herbert's fantastic. He was really impressive when I saw him down at the Senior Bowl. I don't think they've got the right head coach. Andy Lynn is a nice guy. I don't think he's a terrible coach. But, man, like Dan Quinn, when you're losing all those games the way they're losing them, that's a coach problem at some point. Like, the talent's there. They're getting these leads. They're not putting them away. And I just wonder with the Chargers, like, that's a franchise that always seems to go one step forward, two steps back. So I'll take Burrow. But, man, I think both of them have really, really high ceilings.
I like it. I mean, it looks like the Chargers certainly did well. And obviously the Bengals have. But I got to listen. Joe Burrow's going to be better than Tom Brady. Just go watch my video from the championship game last year. All the LSU fans were just, I mean, they all were all in on Burrow. I'm with them. Burrow over Brady and over Herbert in this particular situation. I'm in. Odell Beckham has played his last game in Cleveland, in or out?
I'm out, but I don't think it's impossible. This has been a weird marriage the whole time. He's never seemed totally happy. Mayfield has underperformed. I think he's back one more year because next year he's due against the cap, 15.75. His dead cap is almost equal to that. It's 12.8. After that, he's got 2 years of 15 mil on the books. Not a cent of dead money. So I could see the Browns moving him, you know, maybe being willing to eat a little bit of dead cap and say, look, we're going to move on. Stefanski's in the building. Andrew Berry's in the building. Maybe they don't want him there anymore. They decide it's not a great fit. I think he's back for one more year. But I do think it's possible that at the end of the season, the Browns sit down, depending on how the rest of this year plays out, and they say, you know what? What if we moved him for some more draft capital, 8 to $12 million, and then tried to get better in some other areas, like their defense, which has not been good this year?
I think they're going to see how much they miss him. I think they're already seeing it. So I'll be out on this as well. I think he's back for one more year. If not more than that, actually. I mean, who knows? Maybe if the Browns continue to move forward, win football games, become playoff team, which is definitely on the table, maybe OBJ sticks around. But I am out on him having played his last game in Cleveland. The Rams will make the playoffs. I'm in on that, Verderam, even though it's very tentative. But I used him as my sleeper, so I got to be in. Let's go, Rams. Your defense is – Jared Goff, you're not going to turn the ball over four times again this season. Make it happen.
All right, so to me, this question came down to one thing. Do I want to pick the Rams for the playoffs or the Bears for the playoffs?
Mm-hmm.
And, God, I have no confidence in either one of them, but I'm out. I'm going to say the Bears for one reason. I think the schedule's a lot easier. The schedule's a lot easier. Jacksonville, Houston, Minnesota twice, Detroit at home. You win those, that's 10. Like the Rams, man, they still got – now the Niners are beat to hell, so they probably beat them, but like still got to play Seattle. Still got to play the Cardinals a bunch. Like you start looking at it. Like, all right, I mean, now they do get the Jets, they do get the Pats, you know, but they already played all those NFC East teams. The Rams do hold the breaker on them, but I'll go with the Bears. So I'll say out, but I'm holding my breath because betting on Nick Foles is like betting on black with 10 grand and just hoping to God that the damn ball rolls right.
Well, when you did the Bears schedule, you were hoping that in this four-game stretch, at least the way I was looking at it, at Rams, home with the Saints, at Titans, home with the Vikings, you'd go 2-2.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, you're at 0-2 right now, and you're a 5.5-point underdog at Tennessee. So at this point, like, I think Bears fans might sign up for 1-3.
I think you would.
Yep. So then Green Bay, now you're 1-4. Now you've won one out of your last five. Detroit, Texans, Vikings, Jaguars. Can you win 3 of 4? I think it's a fair bet that you're making there, Verderam. I think the Bears can, and for the love of God, can you get better as the season goes along? And can the, I mean, you would think that they can't get any worse and their offensive line will get healthier. They'll get Cody Whitehair back and all that. But I'm still taking the Rams. I think end of the day, they're just more solid. All right. Cowboys will fire Mike McCarthy before he's coached. We're up to 24 games in or out.
So I'm out. I think he's going to coach more than 24 games, just a season and a half. But I got to tell you, this season has been such a tire fire. You could make the argument he's done after this year. And that Jerry just eats the money. That's a lot of money to eat. I don't care who you are. But, man, this has been so pathetic and so publicly horrendous. Like, it's not even just that they're bad. There's all this, like, sniping and back and forth. It's just brutal. But I think Jerry, in an effort to prove that he wasn't wrong, will say, look, injuries, we're going to run it back and give him one more year. So I'm taking that he'll coach for two full seasons. But, man, I got to tell you, by the passing minute, I am less and less confident in that pick.
Yeah, I mean, we were at will he get fired at the end of the year, and I think we're, you know, you look at all the injuries and, okay, they're not going to move on there. Jerry, he hangs around for a long time, man. I am out on this. I'd be surprised. I think he gets at least two seasons, if not even, God knows. I mean, maybe the Cowboys play better next year. Maybe he gets a third into a fourth, all the way to the 5-year deal. So I will be out. All right, Matt, what's going on in your life right now, other than the fact that you're drying out and coming back strong? You're coming back strong for Ram after last night, damn it.
I am coming back strong, but I am drying out. I've just about dried out here, I think, finally. But my God, you know what? I'll say this. I'll actually go this route. There's a lot of things we can all talk about, and we don't have to get into the political side of it. And I won't, but I'll say that it is kind of a sad commentary in a way, but also an uplifting one. I was proud of the fact that there were not any major, major known incidents at polling stations during Election Day. I think there was a big fear that there was going to be a lot of violence. You know, obviously we saw in some cities, things were getting boarded up like crazy. And there weren't complete disasters anywhere. Nobody was, brutally assaulted or anything like that. You know what? Look, I don't care who you vote for, what side of the aisle you're on. If you can't agree that that kind of nonsense has no place in society, then you're lost, right? And so I'm glad that didn't happen. And then we went through this election and we had a record-setting turnout and people cast their ballots for who they casted them for. And it went on the way it should go on in this country without violence in a peaceful manner. Now, hopefully that continues here for the next couple of months, right up until Inauguration Day, whether or not that is Trump ending up holding on to the White House or it is Biden going into it, whatever. Because at the end of the day here, like, not to be corny, but we are all Americans. Like, at some point, we got to start to kind of bridge this massive chasm, this divide that we've got going on. And I'm hoping we can start doing that with what was a peaceful election day.
Yeah, well, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news to you and everything you're saying. Yes, let's keep the peace, baby, all that. They're going to do everything they can to bring the election back to Donald. And if that happens, by hook or by crook, I don't think you'll be saying the same thing. I hope that's not going to be the case, by the way. I hope that we have some level of election integrity, but we shall see. What a crazy night. What a crazy world. What a crazy country. What a wonderful podcast. Thank you, by the way, so much for listening to Stacking the Box. Hang with us. Give us a rating. Subscribe. Tell a friend. Anything you want to say special to the listeners right now, Matt? How much they mean to you? Because they mean without people listening, we're going to get fired.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. Thanks for keeping me employed. Appreciate it.
Listen longer. Tell a friend. Our careers depend on it. Thank you so much. It's been Stacking the Box.
Repeat after me. I, Kevin, take you, Susan.
I, Kevin, take you, Susan.
It's Jamie from Progressive.
Shh, Jamie.
No, it's all right. I can talk. Progressive protects you 24/7, which means you can contact us anytime.
Shh.
I'm getting a loud shh sound, so I'm going to talk louder. What can I help you with today? Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, Progressive can do that.
Shh.
There's that noise again. Hold on. Let me put you on speaker.
Contact us 24/7 on the phone, online, or on the mobile app. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverage subject to policy terms.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.